Yo, I'm here to say I like Magic the Gathering in a major way. I like to play Magic cards, and when I do, I get hard. Okay, never mind. Scratch that rap. Oh, that rap track was horrible.
That's look, hey. I'm knocking on the glass. I'm in the recording.
Yeah, room. Yeah. Did you like that? Was that hot?
Hey, no, we're gonna take it again. But this time we're gonna, you can go out and take a break, and we're gonna bring Kanye West in instead.
Did I do a really, that was a sick, I dropped a sick rhymes.
Hey, no, like, I'm sorry, like, Kendrick Lamar is on his way, so we're gonna use his rap album instead.
All right, I think you guys are really losing out on a super mediocre song that would have made you not any money.
I think you're right.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another of your hosts, Megan.
And we have, boy howdy, have we got a show for you today. This is the show, Magic the Amateuring, for Magic the Gathering players who are new players, players returning to the game, and anybody who likes to have a time of laughs while they're taking a bath.
That's right. Just to be clear, you do not have to get in a tub to listen to this show.
But if you are in a tub, tweet at us at MTAcast. Do you know last episode we asked if you were on the toilet while you're listening to our show, please tweet at us. And I think it was something like 5 people.
It was quite a few. Like, it was a little disturbing.
It was a disturbingly high number.
I was a little like, what?
Maybe we help people with their bowel movements. That's fine. If that's all I can do for somebody, you know what? Good.
We're like a good cup of coffee.
I'm like a fiber one pill.
Gross.
Coming up on today's show, we have a super amazing special guest. The professor from Tolarian Community College will be here talking about his life, his love, his learnings, and some, he says, dirty swears. It's awesome.
You guys, I've time traveled to the future and listened to the episode that we're about to record with him. It's amazing.
We already did record it, and now we're recording this, so I already broke the fourth wall by saying it was good because it was good.
God damn it. I was going the time traveler bit.
Okay. You're right. I shouldn't have.
Nope, it's too late. I'm not a time traveler.
We recorded this after Magic of Radio, blah, blah. You get it anyway. So Professor's going to be on our show coming up in a little bit, but before we talk with the professor, we just wanted to say our big news that we alluded to last week.
If you weren't on the twits, no one has ever called Twitter that.
The twits, I don't even want to say what that sounds like.
No, don't, please don't. Let's just leave it. Let's pretend like it didn't happen. If you haven't been on Twitter, this coming September, we will be part of the Magic Community Cup. We're so excited.
Megan and I, when we heard the news, we literally screamed in each other's faces for 5 minutes. Yeah. And that is not a lie.
No, it's not a lie. Like, the first time after we heard that and then we saw each other, we just screamed in Maria's car. We just, like, sat in her car and screamed.
So what it is every year, 8 people are chosen to be representatives of the Magic community to come out to Seattle and battle versus Wizards staff for a wonderful Community Cup trophy. And the community wins a wonderful prize on Magic Online if the community team wins. And they win a really crappy prize if the community team loses. The community team has won. They're on a winning streak for a number of years. So
yeah, I think the total record is something like 1 in 5, 5 being the community.
So I really hope that we don't let everybody down and we take home the bacon, as it were. The bacon in this case being a shiny silver trophy.
We do want to say we are so thankful, in part because there are literally hundreds of amazing content creators and community members and community leaders in Magic that they could have chosen and would have been so correct in choosing. And we really look forward to seeing those people on the Community Cup also in the future. And we really appreciate the opportunity to go and do that this year, because we do realize that there are literally hundreds of really amazing choices. And we're so appreciative.
Yeah, I agree. There is a lot of people that they could have chosen for this team, and I guess there's just 8 slots, and that's the way it goes. So there's an incredible amount of people they could have picked, and we are beyond honored to be representing you guys out there in the community. So I hope you'll be pulling for us September 19th and 20th. We'll be playing some crazy formats. We don't know what they are yet.
Nope.
But you can watch on Twitch. It will be broadcast, and you can comment and say, oh no, Maria and Megan are misclicking all over the place. Get them out of there.
Oh my God. Why did Megan forget how to play Magic? Why is Megan acting like this is a game of chutes and ladders? Megan, this isn't chutes and ladders. Megan, quit spinning that spinner.
I mean, we're pretty nervous, but I think we're going to do okay, okay?
Okay.
So we were picked along with a lot of our good friends from the Magic community, including Kenji.
Yes, who has been on the show, a very well-known streamer. Joel Larson.
You're going to have to learn to say his name right.
Joel Larson, otherwise known as the Swedish Kibbler.
Otherwise known as Pro Tour Origins Champion.
That's right. He's really going to be carrying the hair game for this one.
Yeah, that's very true. You and I have colored hair, but it cannot compete with Joel's hair.
The height, man. The height. He's
so good. I need to find out what he uses because...
I would put it in my hair.
You know I like that bump.
Yeah.
I wish it was the 60s when it comes to hair. That's true. Gabe is also going to be on our team.
Yes, otherwise known as SG Doc.
Yeah, and by the way, also has been on our show before a number of times.
Yes, absolutely. So obviously, super excited.
If you guys want to be... Okay, next one up, Jimmy Wong.
Yeah, from... we've had the Command Zone. We were on their podcast.
They were on our podcast.
It was great.
I just realized the way to get on the Community Cup is to be on our podcast.
So, hey, you guys, if you want to, we really hope the professor is not on this year.
Next year.
We're very sad. We're having him on so that we make sure he gets on the Community Cup next year.
We're pulling for you, professor.
We're pulling for you, buddy. We really are.
All right, we got the Stibs coming up next.
Yeah. He's over at Gathering Magic, holding the fort down over there. It creates tons of content.
And then we have Wedge. He's another YouTube magic video content creator.
Yes. So
host of the Manasaurs.
Absolutely. We're so excited that hopefully this team will be able to carry us through our misclicks.
Yeah.
Our inevitable misclicks on Magic Online.
So like I said, watch out for that coming up September 19th and 20th. We're beyond excited. And we'd love to have your guys' support in chat when it's happening on Twitter. We'll be following all of that stuff, obviously, and hopefully doing some very silly drafts on your behalf and just kicking some major booty and getting you guys a good prize.
We will be bringing the ridiculous. We will be putting the ridiculous in Community Cup.
I'll be putting... Never mind.
Don't. Just whatever you're going to say. Just hold on to it.
All right, you guys. Let's hear from the professor in 3, 2, 1...
This week's incredibly special guest from all the way from Tolarian Community College.
Yes.
Which exists on the internet. So it's a long trip from the internet to here. Unless you're also on the internet. Damn it, I got confused in the middle of the sentence.
I understand.
It's the professor, everybody.
Yay!
Yay!
Oh, hello. I didn't see you both there on the internet. How good to run into you on the internet here.
I mean, it's so crazy. There's so many people running by each other in all these tubes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really hard. You never see anyone that you're expecting to see because you just kind of keep your head down and keep rolling.
I was hiding behind a message board about eggs.
Yes, yes. Well, most of us keep our heads down because we're carrying boxes of pornography.
So true.
Don't look at my face. Don't look at my face. Don't look at my face. We don't know each other. We don't know each other.
You know, we asked the professor to be on our show. We met you in Vegas, and it was an amazing time.
Absolutely.
And we said to ourselves, why has he never been on our show? We're crazy people. We need to get him on.
Yes. All three of those statements are true.
Yep, correct. And so now we're remedying that problem because the professor is amazing, and he's doing great things for our community. And every day I'm thankful that he's in my life. And I say a little prayer of thanks over my breakfast cereal.
Yes. One could say that we were poisoned by a lack of just general like goodwill and benevolence and hilarity, and that he has the remedy.
Well, that's quite an introduction. I'll have to top that by saying that Magic the Amateuring, as everyone knows, is either a great podcast or the greatest podcast that ever was. Not within magic content, of course, just out of all podcasts that exist.
What?
You know, they've got podcasts with astrophysicists talking about the nature of reality and our place in the universe, when the stars were born and how they shall inevitably decline. And that has no comparison to Magic the Amateuring, the podcast. I'm not saying that you too will discover the cure for cancer. I am simply saying that when it is discovered, the first place people will assume that it came from was this podcast right here. So thank you for the contributions you have given not only to the Magic the Gathering community with your wonderful, joy-filled podcast, but also, dare I say it, humanity itself.
Well, wow. Yeah, wow. I mean,
thank you.
I have cured cancer. I'm just keeping it in a box.
Why?
That's really, you gotta take it out of the
box.
That's a
dick move, man.
Great point. What was I thinking?
I don't know. A listener did point out to us today that we apparently, like, back when we were talking about what card were we talking about? The Hive. Apparently when we were talking about that card, we inadvertently, like, pre-developed Hornet's Nest.
Yep, we did. And that's not the first time it's happened.
No, so I'm saying that, I mean, maybe at some point we've talked about something that will
eventually
turn out to be what was the cure for cancer.
It was probably that time I went on a diatribe about how great Rakdos is.
That's probably it.
So welcome, Professor. We're so glad you could be here. We wanted to talk to you a little bit because your life is amazing. And you've just burst onto the magic scene here and have been doing great things for a number of years. But, you know, what if people don't know who you are and what you do? How did you come to be the professor? How did you get such a badass title and nobody knows your name? Go.
Yes.
Well, basically, Starbucks said that they weren't hiring. And so the next logical step was professor of English. And it has worse benefits and worse hours, and people treat you worse, but it beats working at Arby's. So, I mean, Arby's does pay more, but it is better to be teaching English at the community college level. I started a YouTube channel, and because I am in reality, my real life character is a professor of English. I'm not technically a professor because community colleges don't have professors, but I do technically profess, and so I shall take the dignity of that instead of as I'm technically adjunct instructor on the payroll like everyone else at the community college.
But colleges don't believe in the hierarchy that is professorship.
There's a lot of things community colleges don't believe in. Benefits, sick days, things like that. So I started a YouTube channel for something far more interesting than English literature or rhetorical analysis, magic cards and Magic the Gathering. And it actually started to take off. And so I had formed the professor persona out of the idea that it's a little more interesting, I think, to be lecturing to an audience that is interested in what you have to say, as opposed to English literature
Question.
And rhetorical analysis, which is really depressing.
Do you wear that vest / suit jacket / cravat when you profess at the community college?
I do, actually. That is my real work outfit. No one else dresses like that, which is why I do. It's my own form of rebellion. Most other instructors dress casually like everyone else on the planet, and I just kind of am sticking my thumb up at my colleagues by saying, well, you know what? I'm going to wear a vest and tie.
You are too good for them. You are too
No,
good for
it's
them.
Not that. I actually don't. I don't feel that. I don't feel
no,
that.
I'm,
I just.
But I'm telling you that you are.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you that you are.
Will you tell them that?
Absolutely. Give me their addresses or their phone.
Megan will write letters.
Okay, and you,
just FYI.
And
I really
you know
believe
the,
in the power of letter writing campaigns.
Yeah. People need to write more letters. There's too many swear words on television these days. They will reply to those letters with who? because I'm fairly anonymous on campus. Unfortunately, the reality of being an adjunct instructor is that you just are assigned your class. You go in and teach your class. My boss doesn't know what I look like. My name isn't in the catalog like 70% of my colleagues. I don't attend meetings. The meetings are only among the 13. There's 75 English instructors in my department. 13 of them are full-time, and they are the only ones who attend the meetings. So I mean, I'm pretty invisible.
Yeah, I would not attend that meeting if I were not full-time.
Exactly.
Meetings sound like a full-time activity.
That's exactly how it works.
Well, you've mentioned this in your question and answer video, which you recently posted, but you had a Patreon campaign, which was highly successful and allowed you to create more videos and stop teaching one of the classes that you had previously taught at the community college. You still teach a class, but you've been able to cut back and make more content. Can you talk about how that kind of, I don't know, did it change your life at all?
I think that what happened was I must have been in some kind of terrible accident where I went into the type of coma where your most ultimate fantasies come true. And that's where I exist right now. Because
so this is an episode of Dallas?
Yeah. And because I'm literally sitting here talking into a microphone on the Magic the Amateuring podcast going on about how there are hundreds of people who are giving me money to keep making YouTube videos.
Yay!
Instead of teaching English literature at a dead-end job. But yeah, so it must be some kind of dream come true. Yes, it has changed my life in the most amazing way. I literally am speechless. And if you've listened to my videos, then you know that that's a very rare thing for me because they're long-winded. And I have lots to say about most things. But as far as the fact that all of these people have reached out to me to show their appreciation with the Patreon campaign where I literally had to make a video, which was true, because I was I was working two part-time jobs, which was the equivalent of one full-time job, and then making two videos a week with the amount of editing and filming and writing that I put into them, I literally was only, I didn't have time to see my wife, I barely had time to see my two-year-old son, I was pretty much just going to bed and waking up to go to work and working until it was time for bed, and I couldn't keep it up, and so I made a video asking for a little bit of help, and I got more help than I would have thought possible, and to everyone out there, I thank them for that, because it changed my life in the most beautiful, wonderful, extraordinary way. And if you like Magic the Amateuring and you feel that they have changed your life in the most wonderful, extraordinary way, you know, even just giving a dollar or 50 cents per Magic the Amateuring podcast on their Patreon, which only has something like 60 patrons. Come on, people, listeners. I find it most... I, the professor, find it most frustrating that only 60 people are giving a buck or two to the most talented team of podcasters in Minnesota talking about Magic the Gathering.
Who is this dude? Who is this dude?
I know.
Who comes on our podcast and tells people to give us money?
This is great.
So nice.
And it adds up. Give him 50 cents, ladies and gentlemen. Come on.
We are proud supporters of the professor on Patreon, BT Dubs.
Absolutely, we are.
I am proud supporters of Magic the Amateuring on Patreon.
Aww. You guys, let's get a room. Am I right?
I know, I was about to say, like, oh, we're all just making out here. Really, all just making out.
People have tuned in and they're like, "What the hell?
What is happening?"
You're great. No, you're great. No, you're brilliant. No, you're brilliant.
Hey, Snapchat me, bae.
I don't know what Snapchat is. I'm not joking. I don't know what Snapchat is.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. It's okay.
I'm old.
So,
out of touch.
I have a question, though.
Yes.
So not every... There's a lot of people who perceive themselves to be in a job that's dead-end, quote-unquote, or that they don't love. Not all
right.
of those people say to themselves, I'm going to start making Magic the Gathering videos. So... How did you bridge that gap? Was it just your love of magic that compelled you to do it? Did you have a love of video production? Or maybe it was both of those things? I don't know.
No.
How did this start?
Well, I basically wanted to see if I could do it just in terms of a singular video. I really enjoyed YouTube. I took in a lot of my entertainment through YouTube and a lot of my information through YouTube. Actually, as college instructors, my wife is also a college instructor, we find countless awesome resources on places like YouTube and the interwebs. And so I really had felt that I wanted to try and create something myself. And the problem was I didn't know what I wanted to create, and I didn't want to create something for the sake of just doing it without purpose, without like a real reason for doing it. I didn't want to do it just to do it. I wanted to do it for real, coming from me. And I really just loved Magic the Gathering. I've played it my whole life. I played it in high school, and I took a break in college and came back to it as a working adult, and it had turned into a really beautiful thing where we met. It's very hard as an adult to meet friends, and we met some of our dearest friends through Magic the Gathering. We had a social circle. My wife plays as well, and it was such a wonderful activity for us to go down to the card shop and play pre-releases together, Friday Night Magic. She's better than me, and our store owner loves to point that out when he reads off her record versus mine, because he has every one of our matches on the computer. And he's like, oh yeah, Christine's got a lot more points than you. You know, a lot more wins, and
this
and reads
is like
that
the
out.
The cutest little modern love story right here.
Yeah, it is.
It is. And you know, and we play it, and, you know, and now we don't make it down to the card shop quite as often as we used to, because one of us has to stay with the baby. But at night, after he goes to sleep, we can sit up and play a couple games with each other and things like that. But as far as making the video was concerned, I had this weird obsession with card sleeves. And it was because I wanted my cards to be as minty, mint fresh as possible. And I found that the card sleeves did not all do a very good job of this. And I found myself, and everybody said I was insane, but I would re-sleeve my standard deck because I didn't like the card sleeves that I had on it at the moment. I noticed that there was damage that was occurring to the tops of my cards, little scuffs, or that they were splitting too frequently. And I literally bought every card sleeve in the store times two, sleeved up my decks, re-sleeved my decks, and it reached a point where I realized that every time anybody in the card store talked about card sleeves, I had all the answers. And they were like, well, which one should I buy? And they literally were pointing people in the card shop towards me and saying, oh, you know, go ask that guy. And so then I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make one video all about card sleeves and which ones are the best and which ones maybe should be avoided, and then it'll be up there forever. Because when you make a post on Reddit, as people who read Reddit or maybe the MTG Salvation or other message boards knows, they go down after a while. And so there's lots of posts about this sort of thing, but there was no like definitive like thing that was just up there for people to go to. And so I thought that has reason and purpose to it. And I also thought that I had more to offer, whereas a lot of people would say, yeah, Ultra Pros work fine for me, or yeah, Dragon Shields work fine for me.
You're
and I'm
like no.
Oh, yeah, no, let's really take a close look at this.
Hey, you
Let
guys.
Let us examine this.
There is a racket. Yeah. There is a racket amongst us, and it is known. It is known as card sleeves. I say to you, let us examine this racket.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So that was just going to be a one-time thing, that video. And I made that video, and people asked for more, and I thought about making a few more. Like, they said, well, how about one about playmats? And then they said, well, how about one about portfolios and binders? And I thought, oh, okay, one more on that. One more on that, because I know that stuff too. And then it reached a point where I was like, oh, this is cool. And it wasn't until about 6 months into it that I decided to try and do one video a week. And then it really started to roll at that point. And then I got to upgrade it to two videos a week. And it wasn't until that point that I really thought I could actually maybe do something significant with it.
Nice. Do you ever worry? I feel like I worry about this sometimes with our podcast. Like, luckily we cover a lot of like topical stuff that's happening in the moment or like recent sets. But are you ever like, someday I will reach the end of this material?
Never. Okay. Never, I say. I have list of ideas 10,000 pages long. Not an exaggeration. Okay, it's a little bit of an exaggeration.
It's really big font.
Yeah, big
just put
font,
it in big font.
Font
until it hits 10,000 pages.
Hey, as an English professor, I know all about people putting things in big font to try and pad out the minimum page requirement. You're not going to pass that off on me.
Okay, I was always one of those jerks who would adjust the margins and the font so I could fit more into my 10 pages. I'm like, it's only 10 pages? This is bullshit.
And I am one of those professor jerks who then turns it back to you and says proper font and format would be under the minimum negative significant points.
Whoa!
In response. And I'd write something like, you should know better. This is college.
You are sassy. Are you a sassy professor?
I'm not sassy. I've been described as really fun to watch with the lectures and discussions, but a total hard ass with the grading. And I think that viewers of the channel might agree.
So I have a question about, you're reviewing a lot of things and you're giving advice to people.
Yes.
How do you deal with, I don't know, do you have to deal with a lot of criticism coming back at you? Is that a tough thing? Or do you find you have mostly support from people?
I like criticism when it's real criticism. I mean, there's a difference between criticism and hate, or criticism and like just bad-mouthing or disparaging comments. And I don't feel that I get a lot of bad-mouthing or disparaging comments. As far as my YouTube comments are concerned, I must have the best audience of anyone on YouTube, because I don't ever get anyone saying, you know, anything derogatory or particularly vulgar. Once in a blue moon, there's just one. But considering there are some brilliant, shining content creators out there who are just, it's filled with venom in their comments section, I don't receive that. So what I do receive, I would qualify as fair criticism. And I encourage people to disagree with me, because it's not about my advice isn't about, it isn't even advice always often, it is my evaluation. And my evaluation in terms of reviews is simply that, my own. And I hope that I show where my evaluation came from in terms of, well, this is why I feel this is a very superior product or a very inferior product or a very, it's okay, but not great sort of product. Let me point to the reasons. And then at that point, it's up to you. And I wish I didn't even put grades on it. That just was part of the theme of it being a college-like classroom. But at this point, I almost wish there were no grade. And I just said, well, what do you think?
Because what is this, a Waldorf school?
Yes, a smiley face or a little, you know, like
a raindrop.
A raindrop. I grade these card sleeves as raindrop.
That's actually great to hear. And Megan and I feel like we've often said on the show, we have the best listeners or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, peeps got good taste who listen to us and who watch you. So that's really encouraging to hear that you've got such great support too.
Yeah, I don't know how you could watch your videos and be a jerk.
Great point.
How could you do both of those things?
So,
it can happen. But mostly people are able to understand that it's okay for them to, you know, disagree and talk about it. And I love when I see like a big block of a paragraph text where someone says, well, here's the thing, I own this and I disagree on these points. And that's always the best, where they say these points. I agree on some of your points, but I disagree on these other points and my evaluation has differed. And I always say like, thank you. Sometimes they apologize before then. They go, sorry to have to say this. I hope you don't get upset that I'm saying this, but I want to say this. And I'm like, no. I'm so glad you said it. I hope other people read it and consider your evaluation as well to aid them in their decision making. What it all comes down to is that for the vast majority of players, $20 on a portfolio, $5 on card sleeves, that's a lot of money, especially over time, especially if it's not going to meet their needs, especially if then they get and it's like, oh, that's not the one for me. And so I want to try and reduce as dramatically as possible people from wasting that money and then coming home and being like, this card box, you know, this deck box is not meeting my needs as a commander player, as a standard player or whatever. And so that's really the goal. It's not about I'm right or I'm wrong. It's about what's best for you, the customer.
I think you've been a fantastic champion of the casual player. And that's a voice that I sort of think is sometimes missing in our community. And sometimes, you know, you bring up, you know, the point that maybe Wizards is forgetting about these people in certain aspects. And I just wanted to have you comment on why the casual player is so important to the life and future of Magic.
I think that all players are important to the life and future of Magic. And I think the biggest mistake that anyone, Wizards of the Coast, or a player of any level can make is to look across the table or out the window and try and create divisions between players where it's like, well, the pro players are the problem, well, the casual players are the problem, well, these people who come in with rogue decks are the problem, or anything like that is the biggest mistake. We're all players of Magic.
All those players between 5'6" and 5'8".
Oh no, I don't allow anybody between 5'6" and 5'8" to play Magic the Gathering in my presence. Unacceptable!
I mean,
no,
that's smart. I carry a yardstick around to make sure it doesn't happen.
Yeah, but exactly, it's absurd. The problem, though, is that I feel the casual player gets ignored or perhaps disrespected in terms of how they are thought of by the company in terms of, oh, well, casual players don't know this. Casual players don't care about this. Casual players want a 10-10 dragon that will never, ever be an effective card in a pro player's deck. But it gosh, like they're a little five-year-old. You know, it's like a grown man with two children and a graduate degree can be a casual player, and they're looked at as like, oh, isn't that cute? You know, like, do you want a big flying dragon to play with over there at the kiddie table?
Like, no. I want a skillful game.
Why don't you and your friend buy a dual deck and play with the dual deck, and it tells the story of when Liliana and Garrick fought, you know? And I just feel that that's a mistake. All players are important. I actually think there's a third invisible player, and I don't have a name for it. Maybe you two.
It's a ghost in here.
There's a ghost player, or might as well be a ghost, and it's the casual player who goes down to Friday Night Magic and is not casual, is hardcore about it, but doesn't want to play pro in any capacity.
They're the hardcore FNMer.
Okay, is that the term, hardcore FNMer?
No, I don't know. They're officially, we're going to call them the ghost in the room.
The ghost in the room.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's a ghost in the room, and it's a player who is competent, builds decks to win, enjoys the game, goes down to Friday Night Magic and other in-store events frequently, constantly, reads articles, knows how to build and play decks, but doesn't really want to be on the pro tour because they like sleep and eating nutritionally. But I really do feel that that's some of the greatest experiences, playing with your friends, playing at Friday Night Magic, and that we're often forgotten. Or misread, perhaps. And so it's important to remind, you know, the shut up and take my money sort of message. You know, like, come on, I want to buy this product. I was just talking to people in stream the other day, and they've disabled abilities for people to, in Magic Online, like play Pauper and Legacy in 8-person events like Standard and Modern. And I said, it's crazy because we want to pay them to play this. We were playing Pauper, but other people in the chat wanted to play Legacy and said, this just disables our ability to play it. Why do that? Why literally say we won't take your money to play this service? It's so odd.
Absolutely. And that's how I feel about, like, because I feel like Maria and I identify to some part as the ghost in the room. Because, like, we both have full-time careers. We both even have, like, additional hobbies in addition to Magic. But we still, like, we're both still pretty spiky. We both still like to win. We're both focused on winning. I feel like Wizards is always, like, right, like, I don't have, like, significant goals to attain in terms of, like, my competitive Magic career. It's like, I don't need to top 8 a GP. I like winning, but it's like, that's not my end game. And they're like, oh, that kind of person, like, you hate Sphinx's Revelation. People don't like control decks. Like, casual players don't like control decks. They don't let each other play. It's like, no, I'm fairly, like, I love control decks. I love removal. People are like, they don't want to play with removal because they don't get to play with their big creatures. Like, no, I feel like your analogy of, like, a five-year-old is correct. It's like, no, just because I'm not a grinder doesn't mean that I don't really appreciate all of the ways that Magic can be played from a control angle, from a combo angle, from like a green stompy.
You know, I'm drinking the coffee, but I'm not grinding the beans. You know what I mean?
Yes.
My metaphor was perfect, Megan. How dare you?
Are promos like whipped cream on the coffee?
Yeah, like what's... What is the coffee? Can we just like
the coffee is going is my metaphor's falling apart.
Okay, wait. The coffee is winning.
Okay.
You drink coffee. You like drinking
coffee. I like drinking coffee. I'm just not going to go to the trouble of grinding the beans.
Yeah.
Wait, wouldn't drinking coffee be playing the game?
Look, I said these words. I don't stand behind them.
Maria, you said that metaphor, and now the professor and I are the ones trying to make it work in here.
Thank you sincerely, both of you. I'm sorry to have disappointed everybody. I'm by the end of the show, I will have a great metaphor and I'll be able to back it up.
Okay,
that's a promise.
Because you have an English professor and an MFA writing student in the room with you.
Good.
So let's say
my degree's in MFA.
Oh hey, awesome.
Yeah. So where do you want to teach?
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
I got in so much trouble in my summer session class because I always have this joke that I warm up the class with on the first day, where the class that I teach is the last English class that non-majors have to take. And so I point that out to emphasize that it's a high level, lower division class. And I say, so unless you're an English major, and then I go, which I sincerely hope you're not, because I want you to succeed and have good jobs and have a career and you know, the ability to take vacations. It always gets a big laugh. And then I said that, and then like three hands came up and they're like, but we are English majors. And it's never happened before. In 10 years, I've never had English majors in my classes. And now I had three of them. So I had to apologize profusely.
And you broke their little hearts.
I'm sorry. MFAers can tease other MFAers about the MFA degrees.
Oh, that is absolutely true.
Okay.
Sometimes when it's coming time for me to take out a loan for a semester, I'm just like, oh boy, this is a hole I'm digging.
MTA's Patreon is available at patreon.com/MTAcast. Help Megan not starve. Thank you. You mentioned your child, your beautiful 2-year-old.
Yes.
So when the time comes, are you going to teach them magic, and what is going to be their first deck?
I am going to teach them magic. Well, there's no them, it's him. And there's only going to be one, I assure you.
Uh-huh.
Like Highlander. Oh,
yes, like Highlander. And his first deck, I don't know. I think that those sample packs are a pretty good way to start. That Wizards has these sample packs that are mostly commons and uncommons. Up until last year, they were only commons and uncommons, but now they're sticking a rare in it. But nonetheless, well, maybe I'll take the rare out, but they're really basic, and you get to play with things like Sarah Angel and Shivan Dragon and Nightmare, you know, good fun cards. And I think that it's the sort of thing that is ideal for starting him out on when he's age, I don't know. How old do you have to be to learn?
That was going
to
be my other question. Like, how old are you going to wait until he is?
Probably older than 2.
Okay. So
2.5.
2.5.
2.5, yes. He's already eaten a magic card.
Perfect. Was it a very expensive card?
No, it was, I think we took him into the card shop when he was particularly young, and the store owner, who's a friend of ours, was handing him magic cards, commons and such, and he put one in his mouth, and it turned his lips blue, so no more magic cards for the time being.
On the bright side, you know it wasn't a counterfeit, so.
Right.
On the other bright side, you have a blue player on your hands.
Perfect.
Megan is pleased.
Yes. Yes.
As a 2-year-old, I think that he is Rakdos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You hear that, Maria? Rakdos players are 2-year-olds.
Look.
That metaphor goes both ways.
So. I fully understand that my favorite place to be is amidst death and chaos. Like, I admit it. That's what I want. Have you seen my bedroom? It looks like a volcano had diarrhea.
Isn't that just a volcano that... that erupted.
Okay, good point. Just what that solid is. Point. Well, but I'm at home there. I'm at home amidst the death and the burning and to your face and kill your dudes and attack really fast. That's where I like to be.
Yeah.
Would a volcano having diarrhea be like the opposite of an eruption? Like an eruption, I think, would be like a volcano throwing up.
Yeah.
So if it's a volcano with diarrhea, where does the lava go?
Just back underneath the earth, man.
Oh, that's why there's earthquakes, science. An earthquake is just a volcano's diarrhea indigestion.
So the next time someone asks you, now you know the answer.
Yeah, good thing we don't have a geologist professor on the show today.
As an English major, the science checks out.
Oh, great.
Perfect, perfect. We're good to go. Confirmed fact. So do you, I don't know if we know, like, what's your color identity?
Well, now, do you mean, because there's a big difference between what color I, like, enjoy on a thematic or aesthetic level, like, where I love the flavor of that color or color combination versus what I like to play. Or there's a third option, which is if magic were real and you were really in there, what colors would you be? Because I think there's three different answers to that.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's break it down, man.
All right. Well, I feel like just aesthetically or flavor-wise, I love red and blue as it's depicted specifically like on Ravnica as
yeah,
these,
like the
you know,
is
mads.
It.
Yeah, the is it. I feel like that is just very exciting to me. It's almost like mad scientists, but they've also got like blue lightning shooting out their hands and they're geniuses. And the guild leader is a genius dragon who is terrifying to everyone, not because he's a giant ass dragon, but because he's a genius. It's like, they're not like, oh my god, Niv-Mizzet will eat you, or oh my god, Niv-Mizzet will breathe fire on you. They're like, that dude is too smart. Like, they have the storyline that Ral Zarek is like, could you imagine what he's going to think of to do if he knows there are other planes and planeswalkers? That's what terrified him.
That
so
dude
that's badass.
Is too smart.
Yeah. I love that. Great. Yeah. Well put.
That is great.
Yeah. So that, like, in terms of flavor, excites me, but in reality, I would probably be a mid-level bureaucrat in the Azurius Guild just pushing paperwork and looking out the window at those cool Is It mages running around with their chrome armbands and stuff, and I'd just be, like, signing off on park permits and things like that.
Man, Maria, we're not going to have to self-deprecate ourselves on the show for, like, a month after this. Like, you really bring, Professor, you really bring some quality
self-deprecation. I'm realizing as I'm saying it, but I'd probably be an adjunct English professor on Ravnica. Oh my god.
No! I mean, you literally just described yourself as a mid-level bureaucrat paper yeah, pusher.
Right. That might be a step up.
I can't believe
English
you live in
professor.
California because you sound like a Minnesotan right now.
No, I'm not good at anything. No,
no
I'm not.
I'm...
Oh, thank you. But I'm, no, I can't. I couldn't.
The
no.
best thing, I'm only worth it. You can lay me down. I'll be your carpet. Walk on
That's
me.
That's right. I'm just a doormat. My cooking is so bad.
You make a great quiche.
Oh, thank you. But no, it's not fit for a dog to eat.
Are you calling me a dog?
Oh, no.
And scene.
I mean, brilliant. Bravo.
Any Minnesotan get together. Okay, so
you have,
what is your playing color?
I like to play, well, my favorite deck is Merfolk. I've said that a few times on
That's
the channel.
That's right. We watched
Modern
you
Merfolk.
We watched you play.
Yes, we did.
Oh, you
Modern
did. That's
day.
Right. Yeah. I'm having some trouble reading the chat. I did notice Megan at one point when I was talking about Sherman Alexi in the chat, but other
Who
than
is
that,
a baller author.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Go check him out.
He
Go
writes
read.
About balls.
Yep.
That's what that
I
means.
Mean, yeah, I mean he does. His
Big,
book his book
hairy
did
balls.
Get did get banned, right?
Well, let's
Absolutely
see.
True He's... Diary of a Part-Time Indian
oh,
was
yeah.
was banned because there's a scene about masturbation and it's like a 13-year-old boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
From so-
Yeah,
from some,
13-year-old 13-year-old boys don't masturbate.
Not
no,
at all.
Sir. Nope. Nope.
I'm masturbating right now.
I don't God, shouldn't you be hiding behind an egg message board?
Good point. Good point. Okay.
Excuse me. I have to get my box of pornography out of here.
Excuse me.
We interrupted you yet again.
What were we talking?
He's
merfolk.
Playing merfolk.
I like merfolk. Okay. Modern merfolk. And I also, for Legacy, have Legacy merfolk, which is, I actually think the modern build is a lot of fun. It's probably just my favorite deck. And the close second is just mono red. Any format, it's the same deck. Mono red. Mono red Legacy, super fun. You get to play with great spells like Fire Blast and Sulfuric Vortex. Oh, if you are a red player, take the $70 or whatever it is and put mono red together for legacy. They are the most broken red spells. Super fun. So I guess it is it? Huh. But I don't like them together. I've never found a red blue deck that I have enjoyed to play, although I hear there's one in Standard. I'm not a big Standard player.
I was going to say the Thopters right now, the red blue Thopters.
Are cool.
Yeah, that seems up your alley.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, you trying to get me to play Standard? What's next? You're going to try and get me to draft?
Someday.
We will tie you down and make you draft with us.
Pick a card out of these 15 cards. Pick a card.
It's a laugh riot.
Megan and I will try and force anybody to draft literally at any time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, okay, nice. So I didn't realize you were mono red. Wow. We're natural enemies.
But I like blue too. You like
That's true.
Merfolk.
That's true. I love blue.
Have you played modern Merfolk?
I have not. It did look like a real good time.
Do you play Magic Online often?
I do play Magic Online.
Would you like me to lend you my modern Merfolk deck?
Say
and
what?
You can play with it?
What?
Because I feel like I can trust you not to run off with it. So like,
you are going to steal it.
Right. Yes.
I'm going to
hold it hostage. I'm going to receive photoshopped pictures of my Lord of Atlantis gagged and bound with a gun to his head.
If you ever want to see this Lord of Atlantis again, pick a card out of these 15 cards.
No!
We'll make you draft if it's the last thing we do.
Oh my god.
First pick is the Blood Ogre. First pick is the Blood Ogre.
Why are you so scared of drafting? Answer my question.
Because I suck at it.
Why?
Practice
because
makes perfect.
I don't like it. So I've never paid attention to how to do it right.
Why don't you like it? Loop. Why don't you like it?
I don't get to keep the deck.
What do you mean?
But that's exactly what everyone says. What do you mean? You build the deck and you get 3 to 4 games with it tops, and then you get to keep the cards. But will you ever get to take that deck out of your deck box or backpack and just sit down and get a game with it? No, you shall not. You are buying a deck with a planned obsolescence with a countdown timer of 3 matches, and then it's expired, and Wizards of the Coast, they want you to throw that deck in the garbage and just buy some more disposable Magic cards is what they dream of, and you are furthering their goals by supporting draft.
Planned obsolescence is my favorite pair of words.
Yes.
That sounds
beautiful.
That sounds like a feminine hygiene product. But also, I refute you. I have draft decks that I've saved, which are my favorites from every format.
But do you play them?
Yes. And then I have played them.
They're just in piles. You just haven't put your cards away.
I mean, I guess I used to more than I do now. But yes, I did. I pulled them out and would play them. Like, I'd save 2 of my very best ones from the same format and then battle them against each other. And
you're
like,
oh,
remember when there was, you know, Exploit? Do you remember that? You know.
I was going to say, I guess it does make sense then to me that you are also like pro modern and legacy, because my counter to the draft argument of like it does have a planned obsolescence is like Standard, you have to, it's expensive, it's expensive as hell, and
right,
it's always like a different deck that's the best deck in the format.
Yes. Standard is more expensive than modern and legacy if you consider the price of playing it long term, unless you are some kind of card shark trader person who's really on top of like trading out the cards that are about to rotate out a month before they do to get the maximum value for them. And I mean, if you're that type of person, hey, more power to you. But in all honesty, Standard is the most expensive format to play long term, probably tied with draft, where you have to buy your cards every night.
But you know, what if you draft all the time so that you have all the cards you need for Standard? Bum,
boom!
Bum.
Oh, looks like you schooled the professor. Womp womp.
I need that to be a soundbite that
that's
you play sometimes.
That's what I was just thinking. Hold on, let me
write
down.
Looks like you schooled the professor. Womp womp.
Womp womp. Exactly. No, but I like, for me, one of the biggest draws to Magic the Gathering is that whole thing we were talking about earlier, which is, what do you like to play? What flavor excites you? And when I build a deck, yeah, I do want to win, but I also have a big, big, big connection to the cards and their flavor. Like, this game would not be the same without dragons and elves and dwarves. Oh, no, wait, there aren't dwarves. Goblins and all of the wizards and all of that. As if it was just the numbers and the text and no flavor and no artwork, then people wouldn't form the type of bonds and obsessions that they do. I mean, half of the commander format is just people looking at that commander and being like, yeah, that's me. You know, that's my, you know, that's my identity in that card. And my identity is reflected in the deck that I play. And in draft, I don't even get to do that because let's say we were talking about, I like red blue and I like Thopters and I enjoyed doing Thopters at pre-release, but that was because I happened to have them. If I sit down to draft, I may not be able to even draft the deck that I want to draft, unless I'm being, you know, unless I don't mind being, you know, dead last for the evening. I might not open the cards that I need to open, so I have no real choice in that matter. I do understand why people love draft. I in no way am diminishing that, but for me personally, you know, I'm just never been a big drafter.
Well, I think you've hit on a point that a lot of people agree with. Like, I know that some players have said, oh, I would still love this game just as much if the card was just like 2/1, you know, flying, and it was just written on there with no art or whatever. And I'm like, bull crap, not true. Like, people form an attachment, right? They see these characters, they see these cards, and they think, I feel for this character, or I feel like this character, or I want to destroy this character, or something like that. And I don't know. I just think there's something kind of beautiful in a way to that, that you don't form an attachment like that with like chess or whatever.
I agree. I'm like, I feel like Maria, you get way more of an art hard on than I do.
I do. I love art. Huge fan.
I was trying to make a portmanteau of art hard on, but I was like having a
hard time. Art
on.
Like an art on. Okay, like that's fine. We'll say that. You get more of an art on than I do. Mm-hmm. But I agree. Like it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the same at all.
What do you hope for the future of the game? I mean, I feel like it's going in a great direction. Do you agree, Megan?
I agree. I feel like especially like I loved Khans of Tarkir as a draft set, which I'm sure, Professor, you identify with heavily. Statement is just, that's all you. Anyways, like I thought that was so great and was so like, it's crazy to think of like the design and development teams working to come up with new sets every single time. It's just like, that's an incredibly hard job, I imagine. But I'm still, I've just been so impressed with these last couple of sets. And it's so cool to see the game still evolving and still changing, even though they have to, they're working so hard.
And not to mention the community and the way that the game is being, you know, presented to the community. And I mean, I'm talking about coverage. I'm talking about GPs, the experience of going to these things and having it be like a convention.
GP Vegas was just like,
ugh.
How, like, holy F. What am I supposed to do with my life now?
I know, nothing will top it.
That was top five life experiences right there.
And we're getting so many new players coming into the fold. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we totally answered, but I wanted to ask you.
Yes, sorry. That question was so us that we needed to know our own thoughts.
No, I agree. No, I agree. Actually, I'd say that the number one thing that I would want would be there to be a conscious, like, number one, like I get one wish from the genie. My number one wish, number one thing that I want to see, and I agree with all of your points. I think the game is bigger than it's ever been. I love that it is sweeping in new players. I also love that people who, like myself, played when they were in high school or junior high are returning to the game and that they're coming back to it. At my local game store is filled with basically just 30-year-olds, and so that's really awesome activity for, you know, people of our age range as well, many ages. But my number one wish from the genie for where the game is going would be for there to be a genuine and concentrated effort on non-pro or aspiring pro players, as offering them support, encouragement, and rewards. Just things like Wizards just, you know, can do so much. You talked about top aiding a GP. When I get an FNM promo, I feel like I top aided a GP, but if I top 8 FNM, I don't always, if almost never, get that promo. There aren't enough. They're sending them 4 of them. They don't have enough to give out. And for me, getting that promo is like top aiding that GP. Winning those packs, getting, you know, support in league, having something for Planeswalker points that I, as a non-pro, can make use of, maybe at a GP. I want to go to a GP. I want there to be reasons at that GP for me to be there other than to play in the main event, which I may not be in. I didn't play in the main event at Vegas, and I really wasn't that interested.
But you love Limited so much.
Yes, I know. Maybe what we need is a Magic the Gathering convention instead of GP, like a convention-con, you know, like they do those things like whatever PAX is and like that, but for Magic, and it could draw in the non-pro players with events. And I know there's side events at a GP, but more of them with an emphasis on prizes.
What do you think about this idea?
Like
I'm going to dress
up. Both of you pause. I'm going to rub the Magic the Gathering lamp. So that we can talk to the magic genie.
Wow, cool lamp. I wish you guys could see this.
Oh, it's a really great lamp.
It's really, really like, it's got this silver inlay. Where'd you get that? That looks really...
I went to this underground sand cave in the desert.
Through the tiger's mouth.
Yeah, there's a giant tiger's mouth. And its eyes were like glowing red. Mm-hmm. And like a wily old man guided me there. It's a really long story, you guys. I fell in love. This genie I set free, but he's my friend, so we still hang out. Okay, hold.
Yeah, we've all done that.
Great. Wait, Maria, that was just me. That was just me resettling in my chair. Oh. Now I actually have to rub the lamp.
Oh, okay.
Hello, you were telling me all about your. I'm British. I'm a British genie. You were telling me all about your magic wishes.
Yes, I was. First of all, you're British, but your teeth are surprisingly good. Second of all...
I'm a genie. I can wish for dental insurance.
My wish is that I can dress up like Worth Woolpert at this magic convention, and people can pay $20 to beat me with a stick. I'm sorry, it was a bad joke.
Let me get this clear. You would like your wish for you to be beaten with a stick. Your wish is to be beaten with a stick.
Oh, never mind. Actually, I want all the rest of my lands for Boggles.
I'm sorry, you already wished for being beaten with a stick. So that's what you get.
No. It'll be fine.
Does she also get the $20?
Yeah, yes. I'm getting paid by these people.
Oh,
don't
yes,
forget.
Yes, you get $20 also.
Yes.
You're welcome. And Professor, I agree that a magic convention filled with side events, with a focus solely on side events and their prizes, sounds like a, dare I say, magical idea.
Ugh, Genie, your puns make me want to beat you with a stick.
I live inside of a lamp. What were you expecting?
Yeah, but seriously, I would go.
I would go too.
Thanks, Genie. You're invited, I guess.
That's all right. Look, I smell my wife, Genie.
You smell her?
I was going to ask if you were on Tinder. This answers my question.
She's cooking dinner. I smell her cooking dinner. Also, just to clarify, she's not a genie.
Oh.
Her name is Genie.
Oh, yeah, that's really...
It's confusing. It's really unfortunate.
Ironic, really.
Don't you
why
think?
Why does she have to cook dinner? Can't you just snap your fingers and have dinner made?
Great question.
Look, she really it's like a hobby thing. We actually have a very progressive household.
Oh, okay.
I do most of the cleaning.
Is it a household or a lamp hold?
It's a lamp hold. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. In fact, it's a very progressive lamp hold. I do most of the cleaning. I watch our kid. But she her hobby is cooking. She really enjoys experimenting with international cuisines. So I believe she's cooking French food tonight.
When's taco night?
Tuesdays, obviously. Duh.
Taco Tuesday.
Duh.
All right, I'm coming over. I'm coming in. I don't know. What do people say?
You're welcome over. We like to say over. I mean, like, technically when you go over to someone's house, you are still going inside of it.
That would be the weirdest, like, do you want... The weirdest invitation, like, you know, sometimes I think about, like, prepositions and how bizarre they are. Like, think about it. Because I speak Welsh, so it's like, you all these weird things, like, I'm breaking up with you. Why is it breaking up? That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, because breaking down with you sounds like you're going to have
sounds
a rap
like
battle.
Sounds like the 90s. Sounds like the 90s.
What about breaking exactly. off? That makes more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm breaking it off. I mean, that's another thing you say.
Think back to high school. It's like you're getting your heart torn up and broken up. That's.
But why like is it up?
Because you throw it up.
There you
go.
All
like,
right,
like a volcano.
The good thing we have that English professor here to help me with these important life questions.
That English professor with his MFA degree. I majored in poetry. You get an A for showing up.
Before we let you go, Professor, I just wanted to know, like, what is something that people don't know about you, that you have so many fans? What do you wish people knew about you that they don't?
Please let me go. No, I...
No!
You said, no, send help!
First, we're doing a draft.
Okay. They're making me draft. I don't dislike draft. I just suck at it because I don't pay attention to it. So, I mean, I... would not be in misery. I'd be in misery if I had to pay for it. I mean, are you paying for the draft? I'll just draft for the modern cards I need. What was the question?
What do people not know about you? Something people don't know about you. All your fans that you wish they did.
That you wish they
that
did.
That I wish that they knew about me. So it's not like what is something about me that they don't know, but they must never find out. Like about that time I would... Like, not that. Not
no, no,
that.
No, no. Those no, bodies, not we're not going to talk
that,
about
that. Nobody's going to miss a drifter, Maria. I mean, nobody is going to miss a drifter. It's just side of the road.
9-1-1.
You want to ride? You want to ride? Okay, where are you going? Oh, that's not where you're going tonight. You know.
Oh, my God. This podcast has turned into cereal.
I'm allowed to do more mature jokes on your podcast.
Brought to you by MailChimp.
Yeah.
They now host this podcast.
What do they want them to know about me? Just, I can't imagine that they don't already know this, but I feel it's so important that they know it about me that I'll reemphasize it in answer to that question, and that the power and control for them to make their own decisions really is there, and that they shouldn't be, because we were talking earlier about the idea of like my advice and following it, and it's like no, it's information for you to judge, evaluate for yourself, make your decisions. You have that power as a customer. You don't have to buy something. You don't have to play something. People say to Magic players all the time, you shouldn't be playing those cards. I can swear on your podcast,
absolutely,
right? Oh. All right, here we go. Fuck that. Like, anybody says to you that, that pisses the professor off when somebody says to you, you shouldn't be playing that card. Like that is the biggest load of loaddom that ever loaded. You play what you want to play. Now, if you say to someone, hey, I want to play cards that make me win in this meta, in this thing, and someone says, well, in order to accomplish that, then these cards will not be effective as these other cards for that goal. That's one thing. But when someone just looks down and goes, oh, you like to play Rakdos, you like to play Control, you shouldn't play Control. It's not fun. You shouldn't play Life Gain. It does. Shut the hell. You get full choice. You're in charge. You're in the captain's chair. You're in the driver's seat. You are in control of the decisions that you make, of the products that you purchase, of the road that you go down in your life. And that's what I want them to know, because they have that power. And so many of us came to Magic the Gathering when we were in middle school and high school, which are periods in your life where you don't have control, where other people tell you where you have to be and what you have to do and what you have to learn and what you can and cannot say, or where you can and cannot go. And in a way, building that magic deck is a piece of control that we were able to claim for ourselves. And remember that you have that in all aspects of this game and of life. That's, they better know that. And if they don't know that, then I want them to know that. And I mean that.
I feel like we just had like a Dead Poet Society moment.
Yeah,
with,
we did.
With our professor.
Preach, man. He's,
you guys can't.
Stand on your desks. Stand on your desks.
You guys can't tell, but he's standing on his desk right now. We're all standing on our desks right now.
I am
right,
so inspired, yeah. And he's so right.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make decisions for myself.
Well, think about it like tilting. You know, like you have the power within you to not tilt horribly in a game.
Right.
Or to, you don't or you have life. The power to be mean. You have the power to not be mean. You to be kind.
Yes. Be kind. Be kind.
Oh, that was awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, Professor.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're an amazing asset to our community, and I hope anybody who hasn't checked you out goes and checks you out. Where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on YouTube at Tellarian Community College. If you actually type in, as I know no one does, www.youtube.com/Tellarian Community, that'll get you there. But much more likely, you're just going to type into Google or the YouTube search bar, Tellarian Community College, and it's going to give you a whole bunch of things, and then the main channel buttons at the top there. That's how you get to me. I can't imagine anyone literally is like, now, what's his web address? Maybe my mom. But other than, mom knows, no, actually, my mom does not know. I've tried. They don't even know what the subscribe button is. But you can find me on YouTube. You can find me on YouTube at Tellarian Community College. If you would like to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Tellarian College, because Tellarian Community is too long, apparently, so that's really confusing. And I'm on Facebook at probably Tellarian Community College. But in any of those situations, if you just like type in Tellarian Community College, it'll give me to you. And then you can push the buttons that get the result that you desire.
Are you going
to have you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Are you going to any GPs or anything coming up?
If there are, somebody told me that there's one near me coming up at some point in the next year or two, and I think I will go to that one.
Nice.
But I don't know which. Someone said there's a GP. I'm in San Francisco. Someone said there's a GP Oakland at some point. I had not heard of that. So if it's there, I guess I'll go to that one.
Maybe we'd have to make it out for that.
Yeah, man.
We'd have to go come visit.
Well, if you two are there, I'll definitely go.
Yes!
And because I am a San Francisco local and a foodie, I can take you out to the greatest restaurants that our culinary cuisine has to offer. I know all the snobby places to go where they treat you right.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. Do you like to put food in your mouth and drink alcohol? I know the places to go to do those things right.
Perfect.
Yes.
What was that ice cream place that we went to in San Francisco? Do you remember?
Byright Creamery.
What?
Either Byright Creamery or Mitchell's Ice Cream, I would guess.
I think it was Mitchell's.
I think it was Mitchell's.
Yes. Yeah, I know my shit. I can say that here. I know my shit.
People get so excited when we're like,
on the internet.
You can swear on our show, and they're like, swear away. And we're like, yes.
I don't swear. Concerned parents, I don't swear on my YouTube videos because young children watch them. I swear like a sailor when I teach, though. I totally swear. I'm Professor F-Bomb.
Do you have Professor F-Bomb this year?
Oh, man. I love Professor F-Bomb. He's so...
He's
fucking
the bomb.
Awesome.
He's the bomb.
I was thinking say the fucking bomb.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking of like... That's like Frank... That was like... What's his face? Bomb. Who wrote Wizard of Oz?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Frank something.
Yeah, exactly.
I
think. He's also F-Bomb. He's L Frank Bomb? Frank L-Bomb?
Do you know the correct answer?
I believe it's L. Frank.
You are correct.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, well, there you go. The more you know.
There you go.
Really know. I just said that so that, you know.
The professor doesn't know, but at the end of this, I'm going to con him into starting a literary podcast with me where we just nerd out about books.
Great.
I pretend I know the answer to look smart. I'm a professor.
Perfect. That's all you need to do.
Oh, well, thank you so much again for coming on the show. We hope to see you again in real life really soon because we had a blast hanging out with you in Vegas.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody, go watch his YouTube channel and then go support him on Patreon.
And then go support Magic the Amateuring on Patreon in that order.
And then give us all high fives.
You guys, God, let's get a room.
Okay, we're going to go to the Motel 6. We'll see you guys all here next week. You can find out more about Magic the Amateuring by going to magictheamateuring.com, where we have every episode we've ever recorded. You can download our podcast on iTunes, keep up to date with it on Stitcher, mtgcast.com, as well as themeatery.org.
Thank you all so much for listening. Find us also, as we mentioned, support us on Patreon. You can find us on Magic Online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
And I'm horny_unicorny. Say hi.
Hey.
No, I was talking to them, the listeners.
Oh, my bad.
Megan, you never say hi to me. Never.
That's true. Keep your head down. Carry that box of porn.
I sure will. See you dudes next week.